Can you hear me fine? You can hear me? Okay, awesome. Okay, good. Let us begin then. So when Kevin asked me to come and speak to you guys, I'm generally hesitant to do anything on the internet, especially things that I can't edit myself because I have a horrible tendency of saying things that I might regret or I don't say things properly and so I have to go back and edit it. But because Kevin asked, and I really feel like Mary now more than ever has to get this message out. And that is that the rosary is the absolute number one path that God has willed for now. So when the rosary originally came about, as you probably already know, it already had kind of like people were using beads and they were saying Hail Marys and trying to pray along with the Psalms. And during the life of Saint Dominic, he was a great and wonderful preacher, but he was ineffective. And it's a lot like today where we go to Mass and we hear homilies time after time and the people around us' lives aren't changed and our lives sometimes don't seem like they're changing. And so Saint Dominic basically offered Mary his life and was going to do penance and mortification and fasting and not sleeping and doing every sort of mortification you can imagine, even to the point if it meant that he was going to die, he was willing to die because he wanted to get an answer from heaven on how to convert sinners and how to bring about not just conversion, but authentic and real a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Virgin Mary answered that prayer. And because the Virgin Mary is Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, because she's the most perfect in every way, she gave him the absolute most perfect prayer that is guaranteed to work in all circumstances, and no matter what the circumstance, because Our Lady is so perfect, the rosary in every facet is designed to be the absolute most effective prayer. It is the spiritual and supernatural weapon. And it had been dormant for a long time immediately after the life of Saint Dominic. It kind of fell by the wayside. And of course, sins came back in and plagues came back in. And we are probably living in one of the worst times in human history. Like, I know people are always saying that, but if you look at sheerly the amount of deaths, the amount of people leaving the church, the amount of promiscuity, the amount of pornography, the amount of drug addiction, especially now that most of it is legalized, the amount of confusion concerning sexuality, we might as well be back in the time of the apostles, because the church has utterly and ridiculously failed in every facet of life. I was lamenting recently legal killing unborn children, doing embryonic stem cell research, euthanasia, and transgenderism, and the confusion in public schools with sexuality. The church is a complete failure if you look at things objectively. And we're failing because we're not using the means that God has given us from heaven. And so the rosary, especially the Marian way, is going to be the way that God has chosen for us to be successful. So a couple of reasons briefly why the rosary is extraordinarily powerful. Even the things that you hate about the rosary are the things that make the rosary great. What do most people hate about the rosary? It's boring. For me, praying the rosary is like chewing sand, but I pray several rosaries a day. I don't leave the house without my rosary because part of the reason why it's so great is the fact that it's boring. So many of us, we're addicted to television, we're addicted to our cell phones, we're addicted to social media. Some of us are addicted to pornography. We're addicted to everything about modern life is instantaneous pleasure, instantaneous gratification. And the rosary is mortification and penitential and purifying just by the very fact that it takes so long. The prayers themselves are like spiritual bullets because they're prayers from sacred scripture. The meditation themselves are the life of Jesus Christ. So if you think about what the rosary is, it's meditation, it's the words of Jesus Christ, it's taking time out from the day, it's carrying a weapon with you, it's carrying a sacramental with you. Everything about it is designed to be effective, but the person who prays it has to persevere in that prayer. If priests only did one thing, and if religious educators only did one thing, and that was to promote the rosary on a regular basis, they would have extraordinary fruit. St. Louis de Montfort said that a priest would be better off preaching one homily on the rosary than he would preaching for several years on any other topic. And you think about that, that's true. Because how many times have we gone to Mass and we've heard homilies and we're like, that was a good one. They're very inspirational. And they're like, wow, that was really nice. I feel good inside. But afterwards, is my life changed? Am I different? And it's not normally. And that's because human nature is that we forget information, but we don't forget our habits. You are the ones who are going to hand this on. There might be only a few people on this call, but you are the ones. If you don't do this, it's not going to happen. And so we have to be 100% convinced of the Marian way. You must be absolutely convinced of this. The rosary and Marian devotion is not piety. It's not like just, oh, I happen to have this devotion. Oh, I just happen to like Mary, or I happen to like Padre Pio. Marian devotion is first and foremost theological accuracy. It is theologically sound. It is the best way, St. Louis de Montfort, as I'm sure you've heard the quote, that going to Mary, through Mary, with Mary, is the fastest, the easiest, the best, the greatest way possible. You have to be absolutely and utterly convinced of this. My desire for you is that you absolutely and radically renounce your life, renounce your will, give your life 100% over to the Virgin Mary. My desire for you is that you wake up in the morning, you say, Mary, what do you want? Throughout the day, when you find yourself, your mind wandering, you say, Virgin Mary, what do you want? At all times, your goal should be to have a sense of the presence of the Virgin Mary. And theologically, this is very sound. So because Jesus came to us through Mary, with Mary, you will always have Jesus. Theologically, that's 100%. She's a mediatrix of all grace. Every gift that is given, every favor that is offered, it doesn't matter what saint you go to, it doesn't matter if you go to Jesus alone, you receive that grace and that favor from the hands of the Virgin Mary. Nothing happens from God without Mary's oversight. And that's because God is very consistent. If the Savior of the world came into the world because of Mary, consistently, and now she will continue to do the same things just because God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And Saint Bernardine says, because she's a treasurer of grace, it's important to be close to her because she gives what she wants, to whom she wants, as much as she wants, whenever she wants. 100%. Be totally, totally, totally Marian. And you might say, well, what about Jesus? Where is Jesus in all of this? By doing this, you are becoming like Jesus. The goal of the Christian life is to become one with Jesus Christ. And you do that most fully by obeying the will of the Virgin Mary, by being her son or her daughter, depending on who you are, and in all things asking her and trying to please her. Because in every aspect of Jesus' life, Jesus spent every day of his life asking Mary, what should he do? Do you want me to clean my room, Mother? How would you like me to do this? And he would do it to the best of his ability to please her. And he's the perfect example of what our life should be like. One of the key marks of Satan is that he likes us to doubt. When he went into the garden and he tempted Eve and Adam, he questioned Eve. Did God really say this? Did God really expect you to do this? So when you pray your rosary, after you've prayed it, assume that any doubt that enters your mind after you've prayed your rosary is an attack from the devil. Because when you've prayed your rosary, that is the number one way to submit your will to the Virgin Mary. So some people will go throughout their life, they'll make their Marian consecration, and they'll do it as like a one-time thing. But how do you live it? How do you live total submission? It breaks your will to pray the rosary. And by doing that, praying that rosary, that is conformity to the life of Jesus Christ. That is conformity to the will of Mary. And if your life is conformed to Mary, you have nothing, 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 nothing to worry about. Kevin mentioned that I'm a youth minister. I'm like 38, 37 years old. I don't know how old I am. I'm 37 years old. I personally cannot be a youth minister for the rest of my life. I have to get a real job at some point to provide for my family. So human nature would say, Gabriel, you need to start worrying about this. And then that's when doubts and worries come in. And whatever your circumstance might be, you might be worried about your education. You might be worried about providing for whatever it might be. You might be worried about your vocation. God's will for you is right here, right now. And if you're praying your rosary in the present moment, you can be assured that Mary in the present moment is going to take care of you here and now. The future does not exist. Everything that you worry about, every fear that you have, every qualm of your conscience is going to be resolved in the present moment. And if you just visualize yourself in the arms of the Virgin Mary, she will take care of you. Now, I mentioned that Mary's a mediatrix of all grace. Mary's also the spouse of the Holy Spirit. With this is the answer to all of the problems that you have. Whatever it is that you're worried about, Whatever it is, maybe you become a priest, you don't know what your vocation is, and you become a priest and you have to give a homily. No homily, no talk, nothing should ever be given without first going through this cycle, because it grounds you. One, it's an act of humility to pray the rosary. Two, it grounds you in Jesus Christ. Of course, it calls upon the help of the Virgin Mary, but Mary is the spouse of the Holy Spirit, and she will inspire you if you're open. If you're praying the rosary and you're kind of doing the best you can to have a sense of her presence, she will inspire you. She will give you little nuggets of information on what you need to pinpoint on. And this applies to school. This applies to absolutely anything having to do with communication or the transfer of information. When I was in college, I was taking sacred art in the church. And there was only two grades given. There was a midterm and a final exam, and I got a 0 or a 50. I got a 50 on my midterm. And there's two grades, a 50. So even if I got 100 on the final, my grade would have been a 75, and I had to have a certain GPA in order to keep my scholarship. So we went to Rome on the day of the final exam. We had 3 hours to study. I already knew I was doomed. And so what did I do? And we're all studying in the library. I got out my rosary, and for 2 hours straight, I prayed rosary after rosary after rosary after rosary after rosary. My friends, they were all my friends, they were saying, "What are you doing? You've already got a 50. Maybe you'll lose your scholarship, but you're going to fail the class. If you fail again, you haven't studied." And I said, "Be quiet. I'm already doomed. I must pray. I must pray the rosary." And then 30 minutes are coming into the class. My classmates are saying, "Dr. Bernario, come here." They called the professor to tell on me. "Gabriel's not studying. He's distracting us." And I said, "Well, I'm distracting. I'm praying the rosary. You're distracting me with all your talking. I can't pray." And Dr. Bernario said, "Gabriel, he had a very high-pitched voice. "Gabriel, what are you doing?" I said, "Doctor, I'm praying. I had a 50 on my midterm. Even it's going to take a miracle of God for me to pass this anyways. Even if I studied my butt off, maybe I got an 80. My average is still low. It's still a D." And then he said, "Gabriel, if you don't put that down right now..." And I said, "What? I'm already going to fail. What, are you going to fail me?" He said, "I'll tell you what. Whatever you get on this final exam, I will double it. So if you get 100 on the final exam, I'll give you 100. If you get a 50 on the final exam, you're going to get 250s. And then already my brain was like, "Wow, the Virgin Mary just worked my miracle." And I still didn't start studying until I finished that rosary. I had two more decades. I finished the rosary. I said, "Blessed Mother, okay, everybody's watching. Let me go through all of this. I want you to put my eyes exactly on what's going to be on the exam." And I looked and I said, "Okay, I only memorized like 3 pages worth of information. I got the highest grade in the class. The doctor thought I was cheating." But why? Because Mary is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. She already knows all the answers on your final exam. She already knows all the answers on your midterms. This is the key. Mary also crushes the head of the serpent. So the devil is active in our lives. The most ordinary way that he acts on us is through temptation. And this temptation that happens is usually just a thought that enters into the mind. A lot of times, I'm sure you're very familiar. You're doing something, all of a sudden an idea pops in. It didn't come from yourself, but it's a bad idea. Sometimes it's just an idea to doubt. Sometimes it's saying, "Hey, go check your social media." And then he, knowing your habits, because the thing is, the evil spirits are watching you at all times. They're not always acting upon you. The devil isn't under every rock. But whenever his ideas enter in, and this is why I talk about this now, because it's very important that you be aware of where these voices are coming from. If you recognize that this idea did not come from yourself, and it seems harmless, but it's not yours, you can say, "Why?" and ask yourself that. Because the devil might have a plan to use the path of least resistance to pull you aside. So for example, you say, "Oh, just go check your social media real quick." And then the devil, knowing what's on your social media, that there's going to be some hot chick or some studly man in there, and then you're going to start clicking through the pictures. And then after that, it's going to lead one thing, leads to another, needs to another, needs to another. And then because of some idea, you are led astray. So by praying the rosary regularly, what the Virgin Mary does, you're her child, and it is her charism to crush the head of the serpent. So she will help to block off these little pricks that you're going to get. You still get temptation, but she will block off the ones that are major or that are going to lead you astray. And those are under normal temptations. So the devil acts in extraordinary ways sometimes, and that falls under two categories. There's local and I'm not going to go too much into this. We're going to have a podcast on this coming up next week, I believe, on the Children of Mary podcast. But there's local infestation. I would say maybe one in three people have experienced. That is where an evil spirit is acting upon a location because somebody committed a mortal sin. This can be because somebody was using a lot of drugs in the house. This could be that somebody had an abortion in the house. It could be that somebody is storing pornography or something intrinsically disordered in the house. And a local infestation is that it's just manifestations. The lights are turning on and off. Weird things are happening around the house. If you're ever in that circumstance, pray the rosary in that place and pray it out loud, because although you don't see anything and the words seem to be disappearing, the words kind of penetrate the space, just as if we call the Holy Land because Jesus walked upon it. When you are praying the rosary, the words themselves being from sacred scripture, inspired by God, they are penetrating the walls in which you are at. And not only that, but the Virgin Mary is present whenever you're praying the rosary and you have a sense, you call to mind a sense of her presence. It's not just make-believe. But more importantly, I wanted to talk to you about personal infestation. So personal infestation, and we all experience this. So the devil can't be put in a box. It's not like I am suffering a local infestation only, or I do not have personal. You can be completely clean, not have any problems, and then the devil work in an extraordinary, or any evil spirit, work on an extraordinary way upon you, meaning that he's kind of invading your mind and invading your thoughts. He does this particularly with young men concerning, and women, I shouldn't just say that, but young men and women concerning the sins of lust. So there's an exorcist in Rome named Father Gabriel Amorth. He recently passed away, actually. And he said that the devil's main attack upon young people is through sexual perversion. And so you might be experiencing a diabolical obsession, and it almost seems as if you have no free will. Your mind is clouded. Your heart is like pulled in a thousand different places. You feel like, I really want to go look at this, or I really want to go do that, or I really want to call this person to try get some sexual favor or something. And you don't seem to find a way out of that. And some people will contact me and they'll say, Mr. Gabriel, I'm addicted to pornography. I don't want to do it, but I go to confession and I just feel like I'm being dragged back into it. And I feel like I have no free will. Again, the solution to this is going to be praying the rosary, praying the rosary. Mary puts up a wall around her child and she helps to purify the mind. All of the bad images that we see, all of the drugs that we've done, anything that affects the brain, because you are thinking about the life of Jesus Christ, because you are calling to mind the life of the Virgin Mary, because the rosary itself is boring, it purifies you, it sanctifies the mind, and those diabolical obsessions eventually go away and you begin to feel stronger. You still get temptation. The devil's still going to wait until a moment that you're weak, till a moment that you put off your rosary. But I want to be clear that it's not just physical, because some priests or some psychologists will say, well, it's just because you're feeling, biological, you're growing your hormones. Yeah, there's that degree. And we've felt, and if you're a man, at least I've felt the difference between a biological desire and something that's going on in here and in here that it's just not normal. It's not natural. It's something that's more, just a deeper level. And that's when you need to get on your knees, pray the rosary, surrender your entire life into the hands of the Virgin. And you might have done it, do it every day, but you get on your knees, you put your head on the ground, say, Mary, I am your child, cover me in your blanket. And then you pray the rosary. I know it sounds cliche to say that the rosary is a weapon, but it's like you're in a real battle and you're firing off bullet after bullet after bullet after bullet after bullet after bullet. And one of the reasons why the rosary is ineffective in most people's lives is because they're not actually praying the entire rosary. And if you've watched any of my videos, you know that this is something that I'm very big on. And so I researched the book, The Secret of the Rosary by St. Louis de Montfort. And if you're looking at it carefully, you will see throughout it that the rosary as promoted by St. Dominic with all the promises. The rosary, as promoted by Blessed Alan, the rosary as promoted by St. Louis de Montfort, was all of the mysteries of the Holy Rosary. And all those promises we see, the 15 promises of the rosary pamphlet that talks about you get special protection, you get signal graces, you overcome your vices, you get the grace of the saints at the hour of your death, you get the light of God during throughout your life, your promise that you won't be overcome by sin, your promise that you'll get the sacraments at the hour of your death, all of these promises are only made and were intended for the entire rosary. And in the book, The Secret of the Rosary, you can see clearly in one of the very first pages where it's dedicated to children, he tells the children, yeah, man, it's kind of too much to ask a child to pray, you know, three full rosaries or three five-decade rosaries. So you just pray one. You do pray one, and that's pretty good. And so what we've been doing lately is we think, especially because we're like, I prayed my rosary today. Yeah, I got my 5 decades in. And so it's just one more lie that the devil has introduced to try and keep us from utilizing the full power of the rosary. Because I like to give the analogy, if you've ever played Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat or any type of fighting game, where there's a health meter, it's almost as if, it's not like this, but it's almost as if evil spirits that are tempting us, whether that be an evil spirit of lust, of scrupulosity, whatever it might be, they have like a health meter and they can stick around. You get your one rosary done, yeah, it hurts them, they don't like it, but they can kind of hang on to you. But then when you pray the second rosary around noon, you pray your third rosary around dinner time, you pray your fourth rosary right before bed, and it's kind of like beating them up all throughout the day, they can't take it and they'll go somewhere else, especially if this is your path of life. I cannot give you the amount of young people that have come to me because they have had addictions to pornography, addictions to alcohol, addictions to drugs, scrupulosity, whatever the moral problem is, the rosary will crush it. It's an easy devotion to promote because Mary isn't harsh. Mary isn't harsh in any way. Even if you were to give most Protestants who are just like, not like your preacher Protestant, but just most Protestants, if you were to give them a rosary with a little pamphlet, they would generally accept it joyfully. They wouldn't be like, how dare you get rid of this? They would say, oh, thank you so much. This is a nice gift. And then you say, oh yeah, the Hail Mary, it's in the Bible. Oh, the Our Father's in the Bible. Look, here's a pamphlet, all the life of Jesus Christ. Oh, maybe you should try this. And it's easy to get somebody to pray the rosary, especially when they're suffering. The rosary really is the key to get people to love the Eucharist more and to go to confession more. And that's because when you become a child of Mary and you accept her as your mother, any good mother wants to make sure that their child is eating well. You go to visit your grandma, she's always like, eat, eat, eat. The Virgin Mary is the same way, but she wants you to eat the bread of life, Jesus Christ really present. Every good mother wants you to be clean. In fact, if you were to go to any confession line and you were to look at the people who are in line for confession, many of them are the people who are praying the rosary. The ones who don't have a Marian devotion, rarely will you see them in line for confession. If they go, maybe they go once a year. And if you, I can barely make a good confession when I go once a week. I don't know how they're making a good confession when they're going once a year. The rosary truly does bring about everything. This is the weapon for our times. It is the way. Everything about it is perfect. When you need something, prayer of petition, go to Mary through the Most Holy Rosary. Jesus cannot deny her. Sometimes, yes, it does take a long time to get things. If you study the life of Sister Lucia and the messages of Fatima, a lot of the people of the town would go to Lucia and say, Lucia, ask the Virgin Mary to heal me. Lucia, help them cure my son. And Lucia, on one occasion, went to the Virgin Mary, and she said, this one I will heal, that one I will not heal. I will heal this one, but tell them they must pray the rosary every day until next year. Next year, they will get their healing. And what that tells us is that there is a certain amount of prayer, a certain amount of grace, or a certain amount of sacrifice that has to be done in order to obtain certain favors. If you're familiar with Father Ripiger, who's an exorcist, and there's other exorcists that I know who have said this, that certain demons take a long time to expel. And if the person who's doing the prayer and the penance does more prayer and penance quicker and more, that the demon leaves quicker. So there is some sort, I don't want it to be like, this is like an exchange system and it's a currency, four rosaries equals a healing. I don't mean it to be like that. But there does seem to be some balance between a quantity of prayer, a quantity of sacrifice in order to obtain particular favors. And so again, if you're praying the entire rosary every day, which I encourage you to do, what's going to happen is, say you wanted to get a favor. Let's say you want your leg to be healed because you've got cancer in your knee or something. And the Virgin Mary does plan on healing you after a year of you praying one rosary a day. What if you prayed four rosaries a day? Quantitatively, especially if you're praying them with the same devotion and the same quality, maybe you can get your healing in 3 months. So you have to ask yourself, these things are possible. And what you will notice is that you will start to become a spiritual ninja. I can very easily tell a person who's been praying their rosary and who hasn't, because they carry themselves in a way that is free and liberated, and they hold their head up straight even when they're going to confession. You go to confession, you're praying the rosary, the devil is tempting you, you're feeling you have your head down the whole time. The ones with the rosary, when they're in line for confession, they have a certain sense of liberation even before entering the confessional. Very, very important. Also, meditating on the life of Jesus Christ, there is nothing better that you can do. A lot of times the doubts enter our minds, the doubts enter our lives, and when you think of the resurrection of Jesus and you think of Mary's assumption into heaven, these mysteries themselves give you a certain confidence. The saints will say that a grace remembered is a grace renewed. This is why it's important. Some people will say, especially the traditionalists, and I'm a very traditional person myself, they'll say, well, we're only going to do the joyful, the sorrowful, and the glorious. But the saints say a grace remembered is a grace renewed. So yes, I think praying three rosaries a day is very good. And I think that if you're on the brink of that, that's great. But you have to be open. If Mary's calling you to pray more, you have to be open to it. Why? Again, a grace remembered is a grace renewed. So if on a daily, you're thinking of the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you're thinking of Mary interceding at the wedding feast of Cana, you're tying together your own intention, you're saying, Mary, make my life like wine, turn my weak, watery spirituality into something sweet and amazing and full of life. And then on a daily, you're thinking about the proclamation of Jesus and the preaching of Jesus and the driving out of demons. On the daily, you're thinking about the transfiguration and how Jesus revealed himself. On the daily, you're thinking about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. A grace remembered is a grace renewed. You are guaranteed to have a greater confidence in the Blessed Mother's intercession, like at Cana. You're guaranteed to take your preaching more seriously. You're guaranteed to take the Eucharist more seriously. And if you're a priest, you're guaranteed to take your priesthood more seriously. And sometimes people will say, well, I just want to be a contemplative. I just want to be still in the presence of God. And that's important. We all need to have time of just silence and listening. We can't always be chattering. But when we pray the rosary, we should also have a contemplative listening ear, so we can hear what the Blessed Mother has to say. So yes, this is a weapon, but this is also kind of like an earpiece. You don't know, anything you have to do, pull out your rosary, start praying the Hail Marys, and it's going to light a little match inside of you, and the ideas will start coming. So that's how, like, the outline for what we're talking about today. I'm praying my rosary, just little sparks here and there, and then you just go with whatever the spark is. But you know, you have confidence because you're getting these ideas, and you know they're not from the devil. You're getting these ideas when you're asking Mary's help. You're getting these ideas when you're reciting the most holy words of all the sacred scripture, the words of the angel and the words of our Father from Jesus, the prayer he taught us. And so you don't have to worry about missing out on contemplation or mystical activity, because Mary is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. She will give you the mystical activity that you're seeking. In fact, if you were to look at the apparition of Saint Bernadette in Lourdes, you would see that when did the Virgin Mary appear? Because contemplation is basically having an audience with God. You feel the presence of God real strong. The Virgin Mary would appear at Lourdes every single time, only after Saint Bernadette began praying her rosary. At Fatima, the children started to pray the rosary. They said, okay, gather around. We want the Virgin to come. We all got to pray the rosary. And they're all kneeling there praying the rosary. Very, 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 very important. St. John Bosco would say that if three people born, one of them is called to the priesthood or religious life. So I don't know how many people are on the call, but one in three are called to religious life or to the priesthood. If you are called to be a priest, you must absolutely 100% be Marian, 100%. Why? Because the priest is called to be another Christ. And what is Christ? Christ is a child of God and a child of Mary. You absolutely must, to be perfectly in persona Christi, you should be absolutely Marian. Many of you who are not called to be priests are called to be mothers and fathers. One of the primary roles of the father, if you think about the role of Adam and Eve in the garden, where did Adam fail? Adam failed to say no. When the serpent came and was tempting his wife, Adam should have said, get the heck out of here, bro. No, get out of here. Crush the head of the serpent. Most men fail today because they don't tell their children no. They don't tell their wives no. Whenever their wives want to do something bad, sometimes I went to a high school recently and I was filming for some video they hired me to make, and their girls were so immodest. Wow, I couldn't believe it. And I was thinking, this dad is weak, man. You got to tell that girl to go put some clothes on. So a man needs strength to tell his children no, to tell his wife no. Similarly, why don't men tell their family members no? I'll tell you why. First and foremost, because men don't know how to tell themselves no. If men had the habit of saying no to their own weaknesses and their own temptations, and this will come with the power of the Virgin Mary, because the Virgin Mary makes men know how to treat and raise women. Similarly, by being devout to the Virgin Mary, it helps women know how to be a loving and good and holy and pure and supportive wife to their husbands. Because it's a concupiscible thing for a woman to try and dominate the man. And unfortunately, in our culture, so many times it's the women who are taking the kids to church and the men are not going to church. I myself am the product of a fatherless home, and I can only say that I overcame all the sins that Kevin was talking about, all the sins of, you know, living in the world, being brought up by the world, being a single child, being a child of a mother who wasn't going to church, who had no religion. The only reason I can even attempt to be a good father now is because I have the assistance of the Virgin Mary. And I mentioned earlier that the charism of the Virgin Mary is to crush the head of the serpent. And so she will help you to see the way that the serpent is entering into the lives of the family, and so that you can cut it out. She will also help you to see the things that you can be doing better to help your children and to help your wives and to help your husbands to be happier. To help you to see, oh, well, you know what? Your husband could really use if you go and make him a little hot chocolate. Oh, your wife would really appreciate it if you wash the dishes. I don't want to wash the dishes. Most women don't want to cook a hot chocolate for their husband. This is the denial of self. But when you're praying the rosary regularly, you're already denying yourself. Then you're open to the Holy Spirit, who's giving you divine information, little intuitions, little tuggings of your guardian angel, pushing you to do things that you normally wouldn't already do because of your concupiscence. So all of the charisms, all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are magnified. A lot of times, Catholics, so there's, we say, oh, there's traditional Catholics. Oh, there's charismatic Catholics. The charismatics don't like tradition. They don't like reverence. They just like to put their hands in the air and speak in tongues and all this. And then the traditionalists, they don't like to do anything that feels good or has any type of emotion. But the reality is that the church is both traditional and charismatic. They go hand in hand. So the preaching can be charismatic, the prayer can be charismatic, but you get the fullness of the Holy Spirit if you are united to the Virgin Mary, because again, she is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to give you some tips on how to pray the rosary well. I have a friend and he always says, the only bad rosary that you pray is the rosary that you did not pray. Even if you're just going through the motions, and sometimes, to be honest with you, that's all you can do, because you're tired, because your brain is a fog, because you're getting temptations to do sins. You can't think of the life of Jesus. At the very least, whenever my brain is like, haywire. I just whisper the words. I don't even know what I'm saying. Our Father who art in heaven. But the very act of repeating words of sacred scripture, because sacred scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit, that very act is going to start to get the Holy Spirit to turn in your heart, and it will battle back the invisible spirits that are trying to hammer your brain at that moment. So tip number one, when your brain is foggy, whisper the words of the Holy Spirit, of sacred scripture, especially now that many of us are forced to wear masks wherever we go. You can even whisper them and make noise, and nobody knows what's going on under that mask. Second tip is only say the introductory prayers of the rosary with the first rosary of the day. So you wake up in the morning, you do the Apostles' Creed, the Our Father, the three Hail Marys, and the Glory Be. Only do that once, because the rosary, again, was intended to be a meditation upon the entire life of Jesus Christ. So only do that one time. You can do the closing prayers if you want at the very end or after everyone. I do them after everyone simply because I add the St. Michael, I add the Guardian Angel, I add the St. Joseph, and I just need them throughout the day because I'm a wreck and I need help all the time. And then, so that's the second tip. Only do the intro prayers, only with the first one. Say the words, whisper them when your brain is foggy. And finally, be confident. Be confident. Have great confidence in the Virgin Mary. It is God's will that we walk confidently in all things at all times. Many of us, we have temperaments. We might be choleric, we might be melancholic, and we tend to think about all of the bad things that can happen. Everything that you do with the Virgin Mary is going to be the best possible. All she needs is a vessel. She needs to be allowed. There's that saying that Christ's hands, or the only hands that Christ have, are your hands. The only way that Christ can work in the world is through you. The Virgin Mary needs hands and voices and lives to work through. You're already dead. You're already on your deathbed. You're already at your judgment. You have nothing to offer God unless you're offering Him your entire life through the hands of the Virgin Mary. If you do that, everything that you do will be meritorious. Everything that you do will have the hand of divine providence. We are in absolutely wretched and terrifying times. This is the solution. You might say, but there's people, they're throwing I'm with the pro-life, and they're throwing urine, and they're cursing, and they're doing that. Yeah, but for the grace of God, that would be us. If we weren't born into the circumstances we were, with the graces we've been given, we would just be just as bad as those people that we think are the worst people in the world, and how dare they, and they're so perverse, and they're so sick. But we have the solution, because those people aren't happy. God has designed the human heart to desire the truth, to desire His real presence. Every Protestant out there deep in their heart longs for the Eucharist. Every Protestant out there deep in their heart longs for the Virgin Mary. Every atheist out there deep in their heart longs to be held by the Mother of God and to be united to God the Father. They have this. They have this desire. You have the answer. You have the answer. It is up to you to share this with them. If you don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. This time is perfect. It is perfect for the conversion of poor sinners. It is perfect to become saints. Now, another benefit of praying the rosary, all the mysteries, again, and I'll conclude with this because I'm already eating up a lot of your time, is it will make you a saint. It will make you a saint. It will make you a saint. The saints they weren't born saints. They were made saints by their habits. The best way to become a saint is to do the things that the saints did. Let's see all the saints that prayed all of the mysteries of the rosary. St. Francis de Sales, St. Ignatius of Loyola, St. Francis Xavier, St. Philip Neri, St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, Alphonsus Liguori, all the doctors of the church, they all prayed all of the mysteries of the rosary every single day. You are only as holy as your Marian devotion, because Mary is the mediatrix of all grace, right? So if it's me and St. Alphonsus Liguori, I pray the same amount of rosaries as St. Alphonsus Liguori. Let's say me and St. Alphonsus woke up at the same time and we both prayed three rosaries before Mass. Objectively speaking, if everything else is the same, me and St. Alphonsus are receiving the same amount of grace in the Most Holy Eucharist. Very good. He just happened to be canonized. I'm not. So if you're praying four rosaries a day, you're praying more rosaries than St. Alphonsus, you're praying more rosaries than St. Ignatius of Loyola, you're praying more rosaries than, probably not St. Dominic, you probably prayed the rosary nonstop. So no offense, you can't beat St. Dominic. You can't beat Padre Pio. But Padre Pio was cheating because he could bilocate. So he had two guys praying the rosary at the same time. That doesn't count, Padre. But it will make you a saint. I promise you, if you persevere, you have to persevere. If you've never prayed the entire rosary, that means all the mysteries from the joyful all the way to the glorious. Try it for 1 week. Again, I say start in the morning. It's also good to have in your mind, okay, by noon, I'm going to have two done. By this time, I'm going to have that many done. And if there's ever an intention that you have, everything that I do, I tie it to an intention. So for example, I made a deal with the Virgin Mary. I said, for this intention that I have, Mary, I promise to pray 8 rosaries a day until January the 8th for specific intention. If you think about how many rosaries that is a lot of rosaries, especially if I'm just praying only one a day. That's like 3 years worth of rosaries or something. I haven't done the math. But make a deal with the Virgin Mary. She will answer your prayers because she wants you to be a committed child of hers. So I encourage you, try to do it for an entire week. Have some intention. You're going to notice a couple things. You're going to have more peace in your life. You're going to have greater power to overcome temptation. You're going to be receiving the Holy Eucharist with more grace and more fervor. When you talk to your friends about the faith, you're going to be more on fire, and you're just going to have a special glow about you that you don't notice, but they do. Try it for 1 week. I promise you, your life will be different. And if you get older and you have children, you get married, make the rosary a regular part of the relationship with your spouse and with your children. There is no greater way, there's no greater benefit that you can give your children to grow in holiness and to stay in the church than to have the rosary. Because Mary is synonymous with purity. Mary is synonymous with faith. Mary is synonymous with the theological virtues of charity. So if you have Mary in their life, the devil won't be in their life. You have to do this. And you must promote the rosary in all circumstances. And honestly, promoting one rosary a day, only promote that as a step to the entire rosary. Because really, one rosary a day is good. It's very good. But we're not playing baby games anymore. We are in a big spiritual warfare, and children's prayers are only good enough for children at this point, because you know the devil's working overtime. So I appreciate all of you listening to me rant and rave. I just want to give you my fullest endorsement. Pray the rosary. It is the greatest thing that you can do. It is the best use of your time. This is the weapon that the Blessed Mother has chosen. Also, if you're not wearing the scapular, wear the brown scapular. Wear the miraculous medal. Anything that Mary appeared and said, you should do this, I recommend you strongly do this, because the Virgin Mary keeps her word and she does not fail. She is a winner. She is a perpetual virgin and she's a perpetual winner. So if you want to win, got to be with Mary.
First off, that was amazing. We had a lot of comments actually during your rant, as you called it.
Sorry,
but it was amazing, and everyone really loved that. Would you like to close us in prayer?
Yes, most certainly. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Dear Blessed Mother, we ask that you gather all of us, your children, together. We might not be able to be close to one another physically, but we ask that you unite us all spiritually. Watch over us and protect us. Keep us free from the wickedness and the snares of the devil. Intercede for us with your spouse, the Holy Spirit, that we can give our hearts more fully to Jesus Christ by giving them more fully to you. Be with us at the hour of our death. Keep us free from the wickedness and the snares of the devil, and grant us, through your powerful intercession, the grace of final perseverance, that we may see each other and be friends with each other in heaven and for all of eternity. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, my friends.
God bless you as well.
Thank you, Gabe.
My pleasure, buddy. Anytime. It's a joy. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. I'm signing out.